all together, please. Om Jnana Timurandasya Ganandana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stavitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yukta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatham Vitam Tham Sajivam Sarvetam Savadutam Prijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gobika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapcha Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrishvar Vanushvari Vrishabhana Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Dharubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Paritanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, as it is. Translation and commentary is Divine Grace, Srila Esa Bhaktivedanta Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. So, today's verse. Maybe it's better there because I've got the cough. It might make me sneeze. Okay, we'll try it. It might get rid of the cough. Thank you, Prabhu. You never know it. It has the potency to get rid of bronchitis. I don't, apparently. So today's verse, chapter 7, Knowledge of the Absolute, text 20. Prabhupada used to quote this verse many times. Please repeat. Kamesh Tes Ter Ritagyanaha Prapadyante Nyadevataha Tam Tam Niyamam Ashtaya Prakritya Nityata Swaha Sorry. Swaya Karma Staistya Ritagyanaha Prapadyante Niyadevataha Tam Tam Niyamam Ashtaya Prakritya Niyata Swaya Karma Staistya Ritagyanaha Prapadyante Niyadevataha Tam Tam Niyamam Astaya Prakritya Niyatasvaya Karma Staistya Ritagyana Prapadyante Niyadevataha Tam Tam Niyamam Ashtaya Prakritya Niyatasvaya. Okay, go ahead. Yatasvaya Kaimaistaistya Ritagyana Prapadyante Nyadevataha Tam Tam Niyamam Astaya Dimasvaya Vaishnavis? Yadhya Devataha. Tam tam yamasma. Prakritya nyata svaya. Okay, word for word, please repeat. Karma by desires. Tai tai various. Rita deprived of. Jnaha knowledge. Prapadyante surrender. Anya to other. Devataha demigods. Tum tum correspondingly. Niyamam regulations. Asthaya following. Prakritya by nature. Niyata controlled. Svaya by their own. Translation Srila Prabhupada. Those whose intelligence has been stolen by material desires surrender unto the demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. Please repeat. Those whose intelligence has been stolen by illusion surrender unto the... Sorry, I was distracted there. We'll start from the beginning. Those whose intelligence has been stolen by material desires surrender unto demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. Purport Srila Prabhupada. Those who are freed from all material contaminations surrender unto the Supreme Lord and engage in His devotional service. That's a very strong statement, isn't it? Freed from all material contaminations. Sava upadi vinaya muktam. As long as the material contamination is not completely washed off, they are by nature non-devotees. Even those who have material desires and who resort to the Supreme Lord are not so much attracted by external nature because of approaching the right goal. They soon become free from all material lust. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is recommended that whether one is a pure devotee and is free from all material desires, or is full of material desires, or desires liberation from material contamination, he should in all cases surrender to Vasudeva and worship him. As stated in the Bhagavatam 2.3.10, Akama sarva kama va muksha kama udharati divrena bhakti yogena yajita purusham param. Less intelligent people who have lost their spiritual sense take shelter of demigods for immediate fulfillment of material desires. Generally, such people do not go to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because they are in the lower modes of nature, ignorance and passion, and therefore worship various demigods. Following the rules and regulations of worship, they are satisfied. The worshippers of demigods are motivated by small desires and do not know how to reach the supreme goal. But a devotee of the Supreme Lord is not misguided, because in Vedic literature there are recommendations for worshipping different gods for different purposes, e.g., a diseased man is recommended to worship the sun. Those who are not devotees of the Lord think that for certain purposes the demigods are better than the Supreme Lord. Can you close these windows, please? Terrible row. But a pure devotee knows that the Supreme Lord is the master of all. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 5, 142, it is said, Ekale Ishvara Krishna Ara Sabya Britya. Only the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is master, and all others are servants. Therefore, a pure devotee never goes to demigods for satisfaction of his material needs. He depends on the Supreme Lord, and the pure devotee is satisfied with whatever he gives. So, Mukam karoti vachalam phangam laite girim yad kripa tamaham vande shri guru dinatarinam kaimaistaistya ritagyanaha prapadyante niyadevataha tam tam niyamam astaya prakritya niyatha svaya. Those whose intelligence has been stolen by material desires surrender unto demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. So, yes. So Prabhupada quoted this many times, and there's many points can be extrapolated from this verse. Now, there's very interesting there in the purport, if you remember. Prabhupada, what did he say? He said, those that worship the devatas, right? But, so sometimes we say a devotee of Lord Shiva or a devotee of Durga, but actually, devotee means bhakta. So only a Krishna bhakta is a bhakta. The others are worshipping demigods for some material fruit. So bhakti, Bhagavan and Bhakta all come from the same root. Actually, if you are worshipping Lord Shiva for some material opulence or whatever, or you're worshipping Durga Devi or Surya or Ganesh, you cannot really be called a Bhakta. Because a Bhakta means somebody, as Prabhupada finishes this purport, who is a pure devotee and satisfied with whatever he gets, meaning whatever Krishna bestows. So by nature the soul is ahoitiki apratyata. Bhakti is ahoitiki, that means unmotivated, not motivated by material desire. He's motivated by desire to please the Supreme Lord. So apratyata means unbroken, undivided. That it is constant. So in this material world, people are devoted to their own karmas, their own lusty desires, right? By desire, kaimaha. This is material desire, and that is to be distinguished from prema. Prema is desire, but it is not material desire. Karmas is generally to satisfy the indriyas, the mind and the five gross bodies, the gross body, wanting to satisfy that. So that is calm. However, the desire to please the Supreme Lord and his devotees, that is prema. And that is a completely different category. At the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj, there's a good section there for your study, and he lays down that principle. Before he talks about Lord Chaitanya and his Leela, and the Krishna and the Gopis, with such intimate topics are discussed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he first makes sure to distinguish that is not calm, that in the material sense, but it is prema. So he, Krishna Das Kaviraj, he says that prema is like gold, but calm is like iron, a different quality. He's making the point. So generally in this material world, people are just involved in satisfying the needs of the body and the mind. Profit, adoration, distinction, social distinction, whatever. And the tongue, belly and genital, so on and so forth, the material body. So this is kama. They want to satisfy these things. Not only that, they're driven to satisfy these things. So, but prema is not on that selfish basis. We want to satisfy ourselves. Prema is we want to satisfy the beloved Lord, the devotees of the beloved Lord. Gopi Bhata Kamalayo Dasadas Anadas. So Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhukavanai, that is the actual condition of the awoken soul. This calm, desiring the material satisfaction of the mind and body, that is the covered condition. And as Prabhupada says that, in the, if you remember that first sentence, very strong statement Prabhupada meant, those who are not, who are freed from all material contamination, surrender unto the Supreme Lord and engage in His devotional service. So yes, sava upadi vine muktam. So the upadis means when they are destroyed to nil, and that means bodily identification. When one is realized he is a spirit soul, as Prabhupada went on to expand, then his interest in life naturally changes. If he thinks he's a spirit soul and he's realized in that position, then he will want to satisfy the Supreme Lord. So when we're purified of the bodily identification, mind and body and so on and so forth, then that is the beginning platform of awakening prema, Nitya Siddha Krishna prema, Sadhukabhanai, Shravanadi Sudhichitte Kuride Udai. So Kuride Udai means it'll wake up naturally. It's there within the soul. And two verses before that, that verse is chapter 22, 142 in Madhyalila. Two verses before that, not 140. It's also, there's a quotation from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Nitya Siddha Krishnasya Bhavasya. The bhava, the prema towards the Supreme Lord is eternally established in the soul. But it's covered. So I've been hearing the classes there in the Bhagavatam. They're talking about the Maruts and Vitrasura. In bodily designation, he was born in an Asuric family, and Hiranyakashipu is well known, Ravana and so on. So a few days back, I was listening to a lecture by Prabhupada, because in the class, they're discussing how is a devotee becoming a demon, and how is a demon becoming a devotee? The Maruts are under discussion recently. So Prabhupada puts it very nicely. He says that just like sanity and common sense is the natural condition for a human being, right? We are spirit soul, sat chit. Chit aspect means that we naturally cognize, recognize, and understand what to do. But if somebody is mentally disturbed, you know, some psychological problem, chemical, hormonal imbalance in the brain, shock, whatever, he may get out of touch with reality. And he may not be able to relate to people. He may get paranoid fancies, he may become aggressive, he may become inverted. So Prabhupada explains, however, under expert medical treatment, maybe in Agra Hospital, I don't know, that he can restore his normal consciousness. So Prabhupada's using that example that the asuric condition, materialist means asura, of wanting to enjoy matter, this is the aberrant condition of the soul. He is under illusion. And here we have the cause. Because he's contemplating the material objects, he has desire for them. So, whatever, as it's the third chapter, whatever you contemplate, there will be attachment. So the obvious point is there, that in Bhakti Yoga, the primary practice is to contemplate Manmanabhava Madbhakto Krishna. If we contemplate Krishna, his name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes, then naturally we will want to attain Krishna, because Krishna is more attractive than the material energy. If we have a vision of Krishna, then we will also have a vision of the material world as just a place of janma, you know, birth, death, old age and disease. However, when we're in the madness of material desire, we think that this material world will satisfy me, or it is something to be attained. So those people in this mad condition, disturbed condition, they worship the demigods, because they may have some idea. They may have heard from some other person that Lord Shiva, he gives result very quickly. Just like I went to one program there. They have a big program, and I think the president of India came. So I got a VIP ticket, actually, and I was, not because I'm a VIP, but I was in the VIP section. And so I was talking to some of the people there, and before the thing. And I think it was the president, yes, it was the president. And one person was telling me, oh, he said, oh, before he was a Vaishnav, his family is Vaishnav, because, you know, in India there, have their traditions. But then he started worshipping Durga, and now he's president. So I didn't make him fight. But we could understand, I could understand from his words that he wasn't, you know, to be fair, he wasn't saying this was a good thing, but he said, you know, so people hear that if you worship this deva in this regulated way and give dakshin to the brahmanas of those deities, that's a very important part of the worship, then your desires will be fulfilled. This also discussed this very point in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's a talk there. It's an allegorical story, and it's about a rich man, a poor boy, young man. He meets an astrologer, and the astrologer does his chart. He says, oh, your father has kept a great treasure for you, and it is in the house. And of course, you may have heard, especially nowadays, that people, you know, they hide the black money, or they turn it into gold, and they plaster it in the wall. All right? That's a habit in India, right? Get some cement and put the gold chain in there. So somebody was telling me that it's not just the black money under the inside the pillow, that when they come to check your tax, you know, if they focus on you, they sometimes knock down your walls. Is that right in India? He was telling me. And they look behind the pictures to see if there's money, you know, in the... So anyway, so in this allegorical story, he said, if you want to get your inheritance, don't dig on the southern side. That's called Dakshina, right? South. And Prabhupada, he's explaining that one lecture. And Prabhupada says, and that is a reference to the Brahmins. You know, it says here they follow the rules and regulations according to their desire, or the Brahmins that are guiding them. And he said, the Brahmins are very interested in Dakshin. Dakshin doesn't just mean south. It also means, you know, giving the Brahmin his due, which is fair enough. But in the story it says, don't dig on the southern side, don't go to the north or the west. That's impersonalist, the north side, and the west, and materialistic idea. Don't go to that side. But if you dig on the eastern side, you will be able to very easily get your inheritance. So that story, that means the eastern side means the side of bhakti. If you go to tapasya or gyan, or, you know, ritual worship of the demigods, you'll not get your inheritance. But if you practice bhakti, then, like Prabhupada says, you'll become purified. As you become attracted to Krishna, you will naturally, the material energy will act less strongly upon you. And your calm, which is selfish desire, will be transformed into prem, right? So that's why bhakti is called Harinam or Chintamani, because it turns iron, calm, into prem. Right? People are anxious, oh, I've got a metal bar, I wouldn't mind turning it into gold. But they should churn their own consciousness from the iron-like conditioning into prem. And that kind of gold won't attract the taxman, hopefully. But Krishna will give all facility, as it says here. The devotee, he's not really anxious for anything other than that prem. Just like we're singing every morning. Ye tumara sharanaloy taravancha. If I worship you, Tulsi, I surrender to you, and you will fulfill all my desires. And this is my desire, to be a resident of Vrindavan. So Krishna consciousness doesn't mean giving up desire, but properly focusing it on the Supreme Lord. Because desire is the element of consciousness. We can't say something is conscious without desire. Maybe it's fast asleep. Just like this table is apparently material energy. It has no desire. It doesn't want to go for a walk or anything like that. It just stays here. But wherever there's consciousness, there's desire and analysis. But inanimate objects. So the problem of material life is caused by focusing on the inferior energy, as Prabhupada said in the purport, external energy, rather than the internal energy, bahirmukh and antirmukh. So that's the big problem. So, surrender to the demigods and follow the rules and regulations according to their own nature. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he talks about these main demigods in reference to the temple at Jagannath Puri. Because you've all heard of Pancha Upashana, right? That this is a Mayavadi idea in worship. The Mayavadis have four types of sadhana. One is jnana, and that means they study Vedanta Sutra. Like Prakashananda in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And they discuss that way, and they think they'll get liberation in that way. Then some Mayavadis, they practice tapasya, heavy tapasya. Like you in the Kumbh Mela, they sit in front, inside the cow dung fires and so on and so forth. And then some practice working for the good of others, seeing them all. This is the karma transformation. And there are different paths in the Vedas, but the Mayavadis distort them, that you should perform karma for other people, like Madhava Seva, Manusha Seva, right? There's one Mayavadi saying, serving man is the same as serving Madhava. So they open a hospital, serve all the people as if they are the supreme. So that's a Mayavadi idea, because they're equating the individuals with the supreme. So they think this will give them some kind of realization. And then the other one is called Haritoshan. Haritoshan. And this Prabhupada also criticizes, and a subdivision of that is they worship the Guru as God. And they worship Krishna externally performing all the bhakti, but according to their own, as Prabhupada hints in the translation, they're according to their own nature. They worship Krishna, but it's not really in the mood of bhakti. The idea is that I will become Krishna. And you should also know there are various Sahajiya groups. They worship, say, Lalita Shakhi, and they think, these are distorted apasampradayas, they think, I'll worship Lalita Devi, and then I'll merge into the body of Lalita Devi. You may have heard, if you're no Braj and all the apasampradayas, and I'll become Lalita Devi. So in this way, this is the distortion of bhakti, Hari Tosha. Tosha means to please, please Hari. So, but in this, so they have the Pancha Upashana, and Prabhupada also condemned that, because these Mayavadis, they say, you just pick any form of God and you worship that God, because they are all manifestations of the undifferentiated Brahman energy, the Brahmajyoti, and you can worship Durga Devi, you can worship Surya, as Prabhupada mentioned, you can worship Ganesh, you can worship Shiva and Vishnu, and behind them, by your worship of them, you will attain the Brahman. But Prabhupada also said that Shankaracharya, he's covered personalist, because in his Sharika Bhashya he says Narayano Paro Vyaktat. Vyaktat means the manifest nature, this material nature. Avyaktat, it's in the Gita, is the unmanifest, it's not manifest to us, the spiritual energy. So they think like that. That you can just, so in the eyes of the Mayavadis, everything is distorted because they have this apasiddhanta idea. They have that the absolute truth is impersonal. So, and this verse actually, Krishna wipes it all aside. Because if you remember, a few verses before, Krishna said there's four people that don't worship him, right? Let's have a test. They're all mood, they're all duskritina, mischievous. What's the first one? The mudha, ass. Then the radama. That means somebody who knows about spiritual things but rejects it and just becomes a mudha. And then the next one? Maya apritagyan, that stolen, his knowledge is distorted, he's in the mad condition, by material illusion. And then the root one of them is the asura. Yeah. So, and then rakshasa is a developed form of asura. So then there's four that do approach Krishna, and they're pious, and what are those four? First one is? Yeah, but he's athati, he wants money. And then there's another material kind of motivation. He's
distressed.
Huh?
Distressed.
Yes, he's distressed. He may be in physical and mental distress. So he's ill. And Prabhupada says, yes, he can worship Surya, because Surya is a manifestation of the Supreme. But you have to have the correct Siddhanta. You understand? Surya Narayan, the energy of the sun, as Krishna says, I am the light of the sun and the moon. So if you have the right Siddhanta, you can respect and worship all the demigods. We don't say, disregard Lord Shiva, Vaishnava, Yutha, Shambhu. But you have the right Siddhanta, so then you can worship, if you're in distress, Surya Narayan. And what is that? Karna used to, in the Mahabharata, in the worship, it's described in the Mahabharata, he used to, in the worship of Surya, you have to go out in the midday sun and you worship Surya. So if you actually do that worship, you go out in the sun, then that's very good. So all us people with bad chests, we should get some sun on us. My father was a doctor. He said, stay away from these medicines. If you get sick, just go to the south of France and lay on the beach. Haven't got the money at the moment. Anyway, Trivandrum might do. So anyway, so those things are there for the worship. But here, in this essay, this is called the Temple of Jagannath Puri. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He explains those Panchopashana. Oh yes, but the point is that this worship with the distorted Siddhanta of thinking that all the demigods are equal because they're all manifestations of some amorphous energy, this is kicked aside in this verse, right? Krishna says they're less intelligent. Krishna is distinguishing. So in Kali Yuga, Tantra and Mayavad is very pervasive in human society. Everyone is supposed to be one. The professor is the same as the student. The cow is the same as the bull. You know, all votes are equal. This is the infestation of impersonalism. But actually, the worship of these demigods in the right sense is progressive. But of course, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, we don't want to worship demigods, because in our sampradaya we just go direct to the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But here it's very interesting. This is good for our education. So, yes, I'll just read the introductory paragraph. This is a very wonderful essay. I downloaded it from the internet. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote it in English. The system of Jagannath is viewed in two different ways. The superstitious and the ignorant take it as a system of idolatry by worshipping the idols in the temple as God Almighty, appearing in the shape of carved wood for the salvation of the Yuryas. But the Sahagrahi Vaishnav, that's a very common theme with Bhaktivinoda. Sahagrahi means essence seeker. Sahagrahi. What happened? Oh, maybe the battery's flat. Oh, it's come back to life. But the Sahagrahi Vaishnavs find the idols as emblems of some eternal truth which has been explained in the Vedanta Sutras of Vedavyas. Within the temples, within Jagannath temple, which are to be found Bhimala, Shiva, Ganesh, Surya, and the big towering temple of Jagannath stands in the middle of the compound. Those who examine the system of Hindu theology with a philosophic eye are well aware that there are five different forms of faith comprised therein. So those Panchauparshana deities, Durga, Surya, Ganesh, Shiva and Vishnu, here's the explanation of the different modes of worship. The first form of faith is Shaktism, Shaktaism, or the worship of nature as God. So that is embodied in Durga Devi. She is Prakriti. She embodies the material nature. So that first worship of, or the mood to worship something other than oneself, is in Mother Nature. That is the beginning, if you like. If people don't have a comprehensive idea of Jagannath, the transcendental Lord, then they worship nature. So, in our earlier generation, you know, the so-called hippies, they were like, you've got to live in harmony with nature. And so this mood is there, that you worship the material energy or you respect the environment and so on. So this is coming from this aspect. And then the second is the worship of Surya or the sun, which is identified with heat and the only active element in lifeless matter. So we know the gross energy is in ether, air, fire, water, and solids, earth. So here Bhaktivinoda is saying something very interesting. It's the active element, because fire is active, it's always moving. It gives heat, light, it has form, but that form is active. So four things. They also represent the four aspects. Sat, Ananda, Vigraha. Sat is heat, then light is chit associated, and then Ananda is form. Fire has form, but it also has activity, Vigraha. Vigraha means form and personality. So Krishna is Satchitananda Vigraha. So fire manifests before us because it's the first of the visible material elements. Ether and air aren't visible. Then it becomes visible as heat, light, form, and activity. So that is a progression from a general worship of Durga Devi, or material nature, because that means to worship nature. But here is fire. So we know Zoroastrianism, right? There's one group of Hindus, the Parthis, or
Parsis.
They worship the fire that comes from Zoroastrianism, who comes from Zarathustra, who was a rejected disciple of Vasishtha Muni, if you study on that. Suhotra Swami wrote books on that, short books. So Surya is more specific worship of material nature. Right? Durga, first of the Panchauparshana deities, is like a general. And then specifically fire, because it's manifesting, it's the first manifestation visible, and it's manifesting and it can be understood, Satchitananda Vigraha. But that may be beyond these initial worshippers. The third teaches us, which is Ganesh. The third teaches one to worship the spirit in its most unsatisfactory form of development in the lower animals. In this form, the elephant man or Ganesh is the object of worship. So you are still worshipping the material energy. Now you've moved from the element fire, from the general to the, but then the living entity of material nature. So therefore, it's Ganesh in this, in the Hindu theology. But you'll find that different tribals, Adivasis and primitive people, they may worship the elephant, or they may consider the tiger as God, and so on and so forth. So that is a progression. It's still on the material platform. Now, man is the object of worship in the fourth stage. The soul, well developed as it is in man, is worshipped in Shiva, in whom the human souls are said to be observed after salvation. So, of course, there's Durga Dham, Mahesh Dham, Hari Dham, and Gorlok. So, Mahesh Dham is associated with the Brahman. It's on the border of Durga Dham and Hari Dham. In there, Bhavani is the only woman, the wife of Lord Shiva. If you go there, you'll be transformed into a woman. So, anyway, many people nowadays might want to do that. But the soul, anyway, this is the idea that you're not worshipping the animal of nature, the tiger or the bear and the great elephant as a manifestation of the Supreme, but now you're worshipping man, which is the supreme animal, if you like, and that is embodied in the Shiva worship. And so you find that, right? Sometimes these communists, they throw out, there's no God, religion is the opium of the people, but then they worship Marx or Engels or like in North Korea, Jong-King or something like that. And then his son took over and they have these huge brass, you know, murtis about 50 yards high. So these are Lord Shiva, of course, this is the pure form in the Vedic system, but they're worshipping man as God. And then it comes to Vishnu, number 5 of the Panchopashana. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he goes into detail explaining this. He explains, in the fifth stage alone, the infinite God, distinct from human soul, is perceived and worshipped. Hence commences Vaishnavism. So that means Vishnu. Vaishnavism means the worship of Vishnu. So worshipping man as God, that is embodied in the attitude towards Lord Shiva. But then when we worship Vishnu, we're worshipping, Vishnu means, one translation is, he who lives everywhere, who sees everything, Vishvanath. So Vishnu is the first conception of a transcendental Lord, if you like, situated beyond our cognition in the material situation. And when we worship Vishnu, this is the all-expansive God, Vasudeva, one who lives everywhere. And so, as I was saying, here in this essay, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this is good, but this Vishnu deity, conception of the Supreme, is very removed, distinct, as he says here, very concisely, from the human soul. Because when we consider Vishnu is the great God, you know, he knows everything. He knows what you're thinking, what I'm thinking. He's control every atom and molecule. So there's a sense of awe and reverence that I'm very small and he's very great. Now that's a very good introduction to relationship with the Supreme Lord, because we shouldn't, like the Sahajiyas, take everything cheaply and just by imagination think I'm dancing with Krishna. But so this is good. But then Bhaktivinoda in this essay, he goes on to develop this idea that Jagannath and thereby Krishna, this is a good section actually, maybe it's worth, if I can find it. He explains that when we worship Vishnu, we can think that this is Vishnu and he is removed from my toils and troubles. He's the great God, transcendental, full of potency, and I'm just the insignificant thing. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, maybe I can find it. He explains that, yes, when we worship Vishnu, we have this idea, he is removed from my sufferings in this world. But when we understand Krishna, then through devotion, bhakti to Krishna, then we realize that Krishna is not the removed God, the absolute, distinct God, but he is our friend, Suridam Savabhutanam. He's the best friend. And that Vishnu, he may know of our sufferings as Paramatma, Upadrista and Anumanta. Upadrista means one who sees everything, Upadrista, from above, Upadrista. And then Anumanta means he's the permitter of everything. But this position of magnificence removes him from us and our toils and trouble. But when we progress from Vishnu to the worship of Krishna, specifically given by Lord Chaitanya and emphasized and in the Bhagavatam, especially made for Kali Yuga, then we realize that that Supreme Lord runs after his fallen children. He wants to give them freedom from the enmity. He suffers to see their suffering. And so that is that mood of compassion that may not be manifest in Vishnu, but it is manifest in Krishna, and specifically through Lord Chaitanya. Namo Mahavananyaya Krishna Prema Pratayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Go. He's the most munificent incarnation. And why is he most munificent? Because, and it's like a circle, he is stolen the mood of Srimati Radharani. So in that feminine mood, then all his generosity, just like the child, he comes home. Oh, he's crying, I fell off my bicycle and my knee's cut and there's some gravel in the cut. So the father says, what does he say? Oh, you stupid boy, why don't you drive more carefully? Right? But then the mother says, come over here, my darling child. Oh dear, let me get some warm water. And very compassionately, you know, nurtures and protects and the child. So when Krishna has the mood of Srimati Radharani, which is the real essence of Prakriti, then when he's in that mood, he becomes the compassionate friend, ready to liberate anyone who just studies under a bona fide spiritual master and chants Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Then this is the ultimate worship. When Krishna takes the mood of Srimati Radharani, then there's no consideration as Vishnu seeing everything as Paramatma and giving the fruits of karma. Rather, he runs after the spirit soul and just looks for a chance to liberate that soul. So therefore, it's also the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, "Who I've broke open the storehouse of love of God, and the more I'm tasting these fruits, the more the supply is increasing. Who will take?" So he's not taking away the free will. He's saying, who will take? Here it is. I'm ready to give you. Just like that mother. She doesn't chastise the child like the father. It takes care of the child. So this is Lord Chaitanya's mood. And it's manifested in all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya that they're not judgmental. They know these people have got some mental disease whereby they're chasing the material thing, but they're all devotees. So now we have to give them treatment. And then there, as it says even in the Bible, you hate the sin, not the sinner. Right? They have a disease. If a doctor says, oh, you're sick, I'm not bothering with you. What kind of a doctor is that? No, the doctor sees everyone is sick, but he tries to make them well. So the Lord Chaitanya's devotees, they have that. They don't go around saying, oh, you fell off your bicycle, drive carefully, properly. They say, look, take this Ma mantra. It will help you. So we're not fault finders in that sense. We're not blind, of course. We know the material energy. We know the conditioned life.